I feel sometimes quite inadequate when I come up here, because I'm afraid whatever I say, you guys don't remember anyway, so I'm inadequate. And oftentimes, you know, have you ever felt inadequate in serving God? Pastors, even, yes. And I want to speak into that today, and we're going to bring out how it's okay to sometimes feel a bit inadequate before God and serving his purposes. But the story doesn't end there, because we have a loving and abundant God. So let me open up in a word of prayer before we dive into the word. Lord God Almighty, we thank you that you embrace us wherever we are. In our strength, in our weakness, you are there. When we are in our heights, you are there. When we're so bummed out, you are there. For you are the God who abides with us. And you said you will never leave us and never forsake us. And this is the awesome God we have, that who embraces us. So we celebrate you. Every song we sing, you are worthy of it, and so much, so much more. It is so appropriate that we sing songs to you and worship you, raise our hands to you, and just delight in your presence. So as we open your word up in John, in the miracle of feeding the many, may we see you glorified. May we see your abundance. May we see us engaging in your love. In the name of our precious Lord, we do pray. Amen. All right, so today's passage is from John 6. So my question is, maybe for your biblical scholars, which two miracles only appears in all four Gospels? You got two. Come on. 50-50. Take a chance. What? Tony? And walking on the water. Close. Very good. You got one. It's obvious. Of course, the one is Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus. And what's the other one? Yeah, there you go. Yes. Jesus' resurrection. Sometimes it's so obvious, but it's good. Thank you for engaging. All right. So I really am delighted to bring you, unpacking this passage a little bit, because this is a jewel that you can look at from many facets and continue to delight in God's word. And God's word is always like that. Even a simple passage, you can continue to delight in. So let me just look at it from one particular angle. My particular angle is our inadequacies and God's abundance. How did those two seemingly paradoxical things marry together, and they work beautifully together? So let's unpack God's word in with those questions and in the passage of John. Let us read it together. Let me just get my... Ready? John 6:1. Let's go. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, then the Sea of Tiberias. A great crowd of people follow him, for he saw the sign he has performed in healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciple. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for those people to eat?" He answered this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip asked him, "Would it take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite?" Another of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There were plenty of grass in that place. They sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaf, gave thanks, and distributed those seed much as they want. Did the same with the fish. When they had enough to eat, he said to disciples, "Gather the pieces that were left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of barley left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to... Great. John 6, 1 to 14. So let me just drive this home a little more, because we have the delight of having it in all four Gospels. I picked a particular video clip that kind of captures that. The core of the next video clip I'm going to show you is actually coming from John, what we read, 6, 1 to 14. But it integrates other elements from the other three Gospels as well, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you guys are very observant. So I want you to watch this video clip, all right? And I'm going to ask you what elements from the other gospel was integrated besides what we read in John 6, 1 to 4. In, all right? So let's watch the video clip with, like, detective eyes. John 6, unpacked on Morning Day Video. We need technical adjustments. God's word was written to be read. And a lot of times we see God's word differently when we see it in different dimensions. So I'm just bringing another one. It's a visual dimension to it. It's not perfect, but another dimension.
Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God,
Great, thank you. This is a really, really tough question. All right, not that I expect anybody, if anybody gets it, it would be really like a little minor miracle. What was in this video clip that was not in in John 6, 1 to 14? Very good, that's one, excellent. Yeah, woohoo, very, very good. You must have excellent Sunday school teachers, and you're very, what else is different? That's very, very good, right? Because, yeah, it was, some people say 200 denarii, one denarii is one day's wage, all right? And half, 200 days is approximately half a year's work. What else? That's very good. No, we're good. No. I knew you guys would be very keen. Yes. Well, we're going to unpack that about the basket. Where, how did Jesus distribute the food? It's part of this amazing story. All right, and it involves us. Excellent. I love you guys' attentiveness and observation. I was your Sunday school teacher. I would be very, very proud. Let's unpack this. All right, so this is interesting, right? In verse, the next slide, please. I'm sorry, do I have a clicker? No, right? Okay, well, look at that. Oops, next. How was the video clip? All right, so in verses 1 and 2, right, it brought out that, Jesus went away to a quiet place with his disciples, right? But they pointed out that it was near the Jewish Passover festival. Did you ever pick that up? Why did John brought this particular point out that it was near the Jewish Passover festival? Well, I propose to you, and I think it's so true, there was 5,000 men, all right? So, as you saw in the video clip, there was not only men there, right? That's another thing. There was women and supposedly maybe children there. So some scholars think that it could have been as much as 20,000 people there. All right, but in the Jewish tradition, they only count men, right? So there was approximately, let's say, 15,000 to 20,000 people there. But it was near the Passover festival. That's quite interesting. You ever catch that? Nearly 20,000 people came out to see Jesus near the Passover festival. I'll give you a simple analogy. It's like Chinese New Year. All right, you ever see Chinatown near Chinese New Year? People are hustling, bustling, they're buying things for getting ready for Chinese New Year, right? Likewise, if you were Jewish, you would be hustling and bustling, getting ready for the Passover feast as well. But these people saw something in Jesus beyond beyond a festival, beyond a ceremony. So these people must have seen something special in Jesus to come out to seek him, all right? So they got touched by God, and hopefully you and I will see Jesus, as the song says, something very unique beyond our legalistic celebrations. And these people began to see Jesus that way. Then we're going to unpack. And when Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd, all right, coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Okay, next slide. Right. See, so a lot of times you think people are, or God is testing us to see how bad we are. Right? Go, "Oh no, God is testing me to show me how bad and evil I am." No, I propose God tests us mainly not to show how bad we are. Jesus knows what he's going to ready do. He will provide. I think Jesus tests us just like he tested Philip, all right, to show how much Philip needs Jesus. Jesus tests me and probably tests you not to show how bad you are most of the time. It is to show you that he will meet your needs, to show you how much you and I need Jesus. I go, oh my, it's not so bad. I know, growing up, I hate tests. Believe me, on this side of the bunch, I know you guys don't like tests. But this test of Jesus is not to show you, again, how weak you are. It's to show you how great he is. And he already had it in mind. He's going to love you. He's going to take care of you no matter what. So with that kind of test, okay, bring it on. He embraces us in our weakness. We're going to see this in the two disciples who interacted with Jesus. All right? Now, next line. Philip asked him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have an itty-bitty bite. I would say, you know, Philip, if I was Philip, I would be worried too. Seriously, this is a big problem, all right? It is not something like, whoa, you know, it is a big problem here. It's like having a banquet, all right, and you didn't have enough food for people. That's pretty bad. If I, at my wedding, didn't have enough food for you guys, it would be bad. This is worse. So Philip is getting bent out of shape. We just don't have enough, all right? Our faith is like Philip's faith. It's faulty. It's shallow. And sometimes forgetful. Because in John, in chapter 2, all right, didn't he just turn water into wine? And in chapter 4, he healed the lame man at the pool. Philip was in sight of all this miracle, all right? And in chapter 5, all right, chapter 4, he healed the official's son, and in chapter 5, he, you know, healed the lame man at the Bethesda pool. So, at best, Philip's faith is forgetful. He forget that Jesus is God. We forget sometimes, don't we? No matter how God has done a miraculous thing in my life, so many times, I still remember, I mean, little minor thing, I was driving in San Francisco area, all right? It gets confusing for me. I came off the highway speeding because I was late to meet somebody, and I accidentally went to a red light, and I shot through a six-lane highway. Six-lane highway. After I made it across, I saw hair car zoom, zoom. Oh, yeah. I go, oh my goodness. You know, God's provision for me. I don't know why. I'm an idiot. Yeah, it's just like Philip. I go, oh my goodness. Oh, I worship you, God. I love you, God. Days go by. I forget how great my God is. You know, I sink back into my lazy ways. At best, my faith, your faith sometimes is shallow, imperfect. At best, is forgetful. Our God indeed is good because he knew exactly what he was going to do with us. He had a purpose for me. All right? Another story. I didn't even tell Anna and Man, which no. At my honeymoon, I shouldn't even be here. All right? Me, I don't know how to swim. All right? I love snorkeling. You know, so I'm in Kauai. Kauai is a pretty quiet place. It's the quietest island in Hawaii. So I go, honey, I'm going to go out, go snorkeling. All right? She even go, by yourself? Okay. Right? So I go out into this remote bay near the condo, put on my snorkel gear. I started swimming, see the fishes. I got excited. I kept going. I saw turtles. Whoa. I kept on swimming. I chased the turtles. That was very exciting. I kept on going. One turtle turned around, looked at me. I got scared. Turtle's not supposed to look at me. But anyway, after all that excitement, I found myself maybe 100 yards out. All right? Now I'm panicking. All right? And then I start swimming, and the waves took me against the shallow lava rocks. You know, but I'm still around. That was not smart. Don't do that. Don't try this at home. Always go snorkeling with somebody. I didn't know better. So God has a purpose, and he's been very, very good to me. And not only in those ways, but so many other ways, in minor ways and big ways. But I forget. But that's okay. The story doesn't end there. All right? Let me give you this. Sometimes you and I, sometimes we do have problems. This not having enough food for nearly 20,000 people is a big problem. But sometimes we over-focus on the problem, don't we? And we forget Jesus. We forget God. Let me give you this ridiculous example, all right? You guys ever do this when you're young? I do this. I'm a strange boy, okay? You ever do this? You stare? You stare at one finger? You ever do? Just to try. Come on. Humor me. Come on. Just look at the first finger. Stare at the first finger. All right? You staring?
Yeah.
Right? You barely can see the second finger, right? You barely see, right? You guys are not focusing on the first finger. Focus on the first finger. You got it? Focus on the first finger. Really? All right. Got it? Yeah. Bring the first one closer to your eye, second one further away from your eye, and look at the first one like this. Got it? Got it. Now you got it. When you're looking at the finger nearest to you, does it mean the second finger is gone? It's just out of focus. Just like us, like Philip. Sometimes we focus on the problem, but we forget that Jesus is there too. They coexist. The problem is really there. It's not that it's not there, but we forget that Jesus is also there. All right? I'm encouraging us and me to remind us, we have to face the problem with courage, but you always got to say, hey, look, I got a problem here, but hey, there's Jesus with me. That's why I pray to know that God will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter how difficult your pains are. Sometimes our pains are so overwhelming. You know, when our boyfriend leaves us, or girlfriend leaves us, or we didn't get what we wanted in school, all right? When we didn't, like I said, we didn't get that job. When certain things disappoint us, we didn't get that promotion. We're not in the juncture of life or success of life that we want to be. All right? We sometimes forget the goodness of God, and they coexist. He is there in your sorrows. He wants to embrace you. All right? Okay. Now we got the Act 2, the second disciple. Now, another of, next passage. Thank you. Another of Jesus' disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. Ah, but how far would they go among so many? His faith is not so far off from Philip's, is it? His faith is also weak, faulty, and sometimes. But at least he's willing. At least he's willing to work with Jesus. Hey, here's a boy. Look, this is kind of funny to me. This wasn't even his fish. It was the little boy's fish and the 5 barley loaves. He didn't give up his fish. I don't get that. All right? But at least Andrew was willing to say, look, this is what I have at hand. Let me try to surrender it to God. Oftentimes, we feel like I'm too young to do anything. I'm inadequate. I'm not strong enough. I'm not tall enough. No, I'm definitely not tall enough. All right? I'm not strong, not smart enough. I don't have enough energy. All right? But what little you have in 2 fishes and 5 little barley loaves, if you're willing to surrender it to God, something incredible happens. Tony tells me that he was in a group or something of that sort that started CT when they were teenagers. Teenagers. You're teenagers. Maybe Tony and his bunch had, I don't know. I'm guessing. Maybe you had some questions when you started. Maybe you had some doubts. Some sense of like, oh my goodness, this is quite overwhelming. Right? And among other things. I'm just guessing. But Tony and his friends, what little they have, imperfectly, because I think I know everybody in this room is imperfect. Me too, that's why. Imperfectly their faith is, but they were willing to surrender what what they have to Jesus and serve. And you might be the fruits of that labor, that surrendering. What little you have can go a long, long way if you're willing to surrender it to Jesus. Oftentimes, like Moses, when Moses goes, I don't know what to do, you know? I don't know how to convince Pharaoh that, you know, let my people go, like Charlton Heston in the movie, right? Then God asks him, what do you have in your hand? A staff. See, often God uses staff to lead the people out. Often he just takes what you have in your hand. Elijah with the widow who needed financial help. He asked, what do you have? He said, because I just have some jugs, right? And he filled it. So Jesus doesn't expect you to give up what you don't have in your hands. He expects what you have to use if you're willing to surrender what you have in your hand, what little it can be. Your two fishes and your five barley loaves, you have something. I have something in my pocket. I believe you have something in yours. I believe you have something in your heart. I have something in my heart. If you're willing to surrender that to Jesus. All right? So, the point is, would our imperfect, inadequate, little bitty faith we surrender it to a perfect God? I like that. I know I'm weak. That's cool. That's great. That's why I asked the question. You ever felt inadequate? But in my inadequate, weak, and forgetful faith, I surrender it to a perfect God. I love that. I find comfort in that. Jesus, in verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There were plenty of grass in the place. And they sat down. About 5,000 men, as I unpacked that already, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they came, they had all had enough to eat, and he said to the disciple, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the five barley loaves that were left over after they have eaten. That's another interesting. There was only fish left over. I mean, only bread left over. No fish. You ever notice that? Must be Chinese. They ate all the meat. Left the bread. Left the carbs. Smart move. Right? But it's so interesting. 12 basket loaves. Abundance. Okay? It is a sign. All right? It is a sign of the messianic banquet to come. All right? It's a sign because it is about abundance. What little we have is God's abundance. We had so much. You know, when you have so much to eat, when you go over to Man and Anna's house, they feed you, right? And it's leftovers or somebody. Usually that's the case, right? You go over to, and they're good hosts. There is leftovers. If they go ask you, do you want this in a plastic Chinese takeout tray, you know? There's abundance of food because you were like, oh, no more. I can't eat no more. Right? Bad English. But there was abundance. It's the messianic banquet to come that in God's presence, you will be full to the overflowing. Not meagerly. Like, no. You can't eat that. That's it. No more. No. Take some home. Abundance. 12 basket full. All right? So, just to remind us, what little you have, what little I have, what imperfect faith we have, we just need to surrender and we need to partner with God. All right? Now the question is, who mentioned about the food? All right? Who, you know, how did Jesus distribute the food? In John, it says, Jesus prayed, and then he distributed food. But in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Luke, all right? And James, yeah, all right? It says, how did Jesus distribute food?
He broke them into pieces.
Uh-huh. And then what did he do with them? You guys know. I know you guys know. This is how I always answer. Come on, you guys got to catch up. They're beating you by a whole mile, a whole big margin. What did they do? How did Jesus distribute the food? In baskets, right. But who distribute the food? Ah, bingo. Jesus, there you go. Right. You woke her up. Thanks, sorry. Jesus gave it to the disciples. The multiplication happened in the disciples' hands. You think about it. If there was 12 disciples, and they gave the baskets and the fish, the loaves to you, and you start giving it out to tons of people, all right? They're taking it out of the basket. The multiplication is happening in the disciples' hands, actually. Wow. If you and I are willing to surrender what little we have, and we partner with God, we get to be part of a miracle. You and I, what little we have, willing to partner with God in our inadequacies, Jesus is going to multiply it. Tony, what you see is your multiplication possibly. What you can do, you're invited to that process. Isn't that amazing? If you're willing to partner with God, you get to see a miracle. Don't you want to see a miracle? I want to see a miracle. But that takes a little bit of surrendering, not even perfect faith. Haha, that's so comforting, right? Sometimes we forget, but you still, Jesus invites you every day to say, partner with me, witness a miracle with me. And every day you have a choice. But this is the interesting thing about this partnership. It's not an equal partnership. It's not an equal partnership, but it's great news. He does most of the heavy lifting. Ah, I know this is a bad example. I love tennis. Some people might know I love tennis. So I was in Toronto with my brother, older brother, right? And my cousins, they're very competitive tennis players, right? So they know that they're good. So they asked us out to their private club to play tennis, all right? So at that time, I am not that good in tennis. I love tennis, but not that good. My brother, it's very good in tennis. So my cousins challenged me, my brother, to play doubles with them. I'm going to lose, all right, because they're good. They took lessons growing up and everything else. So we go, okay, I love tennis, so I got to play. But then I find myself playing tennis with my brother. I'm same size again, my cousins. So me, I'm just bunting the ball back over the net, getting the back over the net. And my brother's at the net, all right, my brother's at the net now. Anything that comes near him, swat, boom, winner, all right? Me just bumping the ball of net. The ball comes back. Swat! Whoa, I love it. I didn't do anything. See, I was partnering with my brother. I was inadequate. I'm not that good. I bumped the ball back. He's like Jesus. He's swatting everything down. Right? You just got to say, I'm willing to play the game. Knowing that you're partnering, well, not my brother, but you're partnering with the God who's adequate. Isn't that amazing? I know I'm not that good. I was like, oh my goodness, right? We won. And at the end, if you partner with God, you will see a miracle. Not every time, but you will end up a true winner. And not because we win the game. It's because, more importantly, you get Jesus. Maybe if I didn't win that tennis game with my cousin, I got to spend time with my brother. Even if we didn't win that particular match, I think I would have enjoyed that time because I have spent time with my brother. So sometimes you partner with Jesus, you might not see the fruits immediately. I am sure I'm guessing again, when Tony started the church, they go, oy vey, where's this going? Sometimes, right? You have days like that. But I'm also guessing, Tony, the times that you work hard with the brothers and sisters who are committed to the same cause of Jesus, there were bitter and very sweet moments of bonding together. You tell me that there might be a reunion in the West Coast. They're saying, Tony's telling me that the reunion might be bigger than the people here. Huh, that sweetness that you could spend time to fellowship with those people. So it's not only getting things done, it's but who you're spending the time with when you're partnering with God. I think that is good news. And then when you partner with God, you always, 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 always get Jesus. Better than the outcome. But you might get a miracle. So, with that said, I'm running short on time, so I will conclude here. Right? It's okay to be inadequate. It's okay to have imperfect faith. It's okay to forget sometimes. But remember, Jesus always invites you to give what little you have, what little you have, what imperfectness you have, what two fish and barley loaves you have in your pocket, in your heart, in your home, in your experience. If you're willing to partner with him, he will be your sufficiency. He will multiply it. You might get a chance to be invited into seeing and partaking in a miracle. And this is just pointing to, I think, why it shows up in all four Gospels, because this feeding of the multitudes points to and sets up Jesus' testimony that he is the bread of life. That he is the bread of life, the ultimate bread of life, and those who partake in him will never go hungry. So may you encourage me, may you encourage each other, may you encourage yourself to partake in the partnership with Jesus, embracing his abundance.